The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
Sprint backlogs, pass plus, and tasks.
Okay, so continuing to slog our way through all of the processes and tools in Scrum, we're moving on between backlogs, task lists, and tasks. We'll take a break between this meeting. We'll take some time off to actually make a sprint task list, and then I'll come back and finish up with meetings, and then we'll be mostly done with Agile. So the first chunk is, what's the difference between a product backlog and a sprint backlog? What's a backlog and a task list? What is a task? And why do I care about any of these things? So the sprint backlog, you can say it pretty quick. It is the stories that you pull off the product backlog that you're actually going to do this particular sprint. The sprint task list is all the jobs that those stories then break down into. A sprint backlog and a sprint task list are not exactly the same, but they often end up being called the same thing pretty closely. A task is a small chunk of work which can be tested and proved to be working. So it is in the nature of product backlogs to get really big stories, and they break back. You often want to break them down to smaller stories. So if you've got, and often this happens when you're going from the product backlog to the sprint backlog, because you'll discover stories sitting on the product backlog that are too big to be done in one sprint, or that your team cannot handle all of. So as a user, I want an improved physics engine so that I can have a good responsive car driving physics. What the hell does that mean anyway? What do you think is responsive in a car? It actually depends on the person who's driving and the person who's testing and the person who wants it made. So you need to sit down and talk with the person who made the story to figure out what they think is most important and then break that back down again. So it could be acceleration, could be braking, could be mass and momentum. Maybe it's just the special effects, the way it looks and sounds as you're driving. The guy doesn't actually care how it feels to the person playing the game, but what they care about is what it looks like and what it sounds like. So one of the things you want to do as you break down a big story into smaller stories is that lets you drill down and get a better understanding of what that story meant anyway when it was written. Tasks are, once you've got those stories broken down, you know exactly what you're working down, you can start turning it into actual work. This is where hours actually start coming into it. If you can, you do want to attach time to your tasks, because this is the point at which you're actually creating the amount of work that you're going to get done. And if your team has among you a total of 20 hours of work to get done for this sprint, you want to make sure that you're not trying to give yourselves 40 hours worth of tasks to do. So tasks should be small enough to estimate with reasonable accuracy. A good task is from 1 to 8 hours of work. Given the amount of time you're likely to be spending on this project within a week, which is the amount of time we kind of recommend for a sprint, you probably want to try to have tasks be 1 to 2 hours long, if you can. I realize sometimes it's really hard to break things down smaller than that, but if you're not getting down to 1 to 2 hours, that's 10 to 20%, right, of the work you're doing. So you want to get it down. Ideally, they can be responsible for just one person can be responsible for them. They don't have to jump between different people so that one person can say, yes, I finished this, and it took me N hours. And finally, when you take those stories and you break them into tasks, you figure out what all the work is, you figure out who needs to be working on them, and you can find out if you've accidentally overloaded one person because only one person actually knows how to interact with your physics engine, and you've pulled out three different stories that have physics tasks. And while everyone else can get all of the tasks done with them, you've got one person who suddenly got 30 hours of work stacked on them, and they're not going to get through all of that. So this is where you find those hidden dependencies that make working with Scrum a little tricky when you're working on a game project, because you do have people who have specialties more so than in other broader projects like financial projects. I think I've shown you this before, but I'm going to show it to you again, because Scrum boards really only become relevant when you start having things as small as tasks. They're not particularly useful for stories. What they are is the day-to-day. Once you've got all of your tasks, you can populate your to-do list, and then you can start watching your project get done. And as that to-do list goes down and the done pile gets bigger, you know where you are in your project. I prefer physical boards. I found that almost every time a team uses an electronic board, it doesn't work as well. But having a physical board means you have a space you meet at regularly, and that's always where you meet. So you don't. There's no way we can give you a place to have a physical board. And if you had one, you'd each need one in your dorm room or whatever. So that's junk. There are, however, two very good sites that you can do this electronically. They're set up to allow groups, dispersed groups, to use it. Trello.com and Scrummy.com. Scrummy.com is just a Scrum board. It's free. You can't really change it in any way. It gives you what it gives you, and unless you want to pay them money to make it fancier, you can't fiddle around with what they're giving you. On the other hand, it really is exactly a Scrum board, and it works just like a physical Scrum board, pretty much. Trello.com is more configurable, but it looks less like a classic Scrum board, would be the right way to put it, and it can lure you into making some mistakes and into putting in too much information if you're not careful. But either of those will work very well for an electronic Scrum board. And there are probably other options out there. So if you find something else, or if you've been using something else that works well, go ahead and use that and tell me about it, because I'd like to know. So that's enough talk. Now we should do. So what I'd like you guys to do is we're going to take about half an hour to 40 minutes. And I'm going to ask you to create a sprint task list for the rest of your project. Because it's Monday, this project is actually due next Monday. So that's about a 1 week time. It's actually a reasonably good chunk of time for a sprint. I know you have product backlogs because we made them. I know they're prioritized because we did that too. So go ahead, pull out your product backlogs, start working your way down. Stop estimating when you run out of time to do work, not when you run out of stories. There is no point in spending a lot of time estimating a story at the bottom that you're not going to get to. This may also tell you some of the things you're not going to get to, and it may decide that, oh, well, if I can't have this because it's down here and I'm doing this, maybe I want to reprioritize and put this one on top. That's okay. It's a reasonable stunt to pull, especially while you're planning, because you may learn that this was more expensive than you thought it was, and you'd rather pull something up. All right, so there you have it. We are going to ask you to do just a two-minute stand-up. Hey, we did sprint task list. This is what we think we're going to be able to get done. This is what it was like. Did it work well? Did it work poorly? Et cetera. Just a two-minute stand-up in place, sit down again presentation. Are there any questions?
So we can create our sprint task list right off of the product backlog. We have to create a separate.
Product backlog, you probably want to create a new document. Usually I use like a spreadsheet, Excel, Google Docs, and you just create a list. I should have a sample sprint task list somewhere. I can pull it up in a moment. But it's going to look a lot like your product backlog, except that it's going to have, you know, what is the task, what is the number of hours it's estimated at. You might even have who do we think is going to do it, so you can do a sort and check to see how many hours you've assigned to each of your people. But that's pretty much all it is. Yeah. Here is a sample sprint task list. It's actually got more columns than you need, but it's got an ID number because it's nice to have something referenced back. You've got a story column where you can put the ID number of your story if you want to be able to go back and easily check, hey, which story did this task come off of? Priority is usually inherited from the story it came from, so your P1 story is going to spawn however many priority one tasks. Since that story wants to get done first, all of its tasks are higher priority. Time estimate. How many hours do you think this task is going to take? Who? Who's the person who's doing it? You may not be filling out who while you're making your sprint task list, but at some point, someone's going to stand up and do that task, and they should probably put their name on it so you know who's doing it. Time remaining is a column that you may or may not use, but if you spend all day working on a task and you discover it's not done, you may want to go ahead and say, hey, I think I've got another 4 hours work on this. This may mean that you have an estimate of 4 hours, and a time remaining of 4 hours after having worked on it after a whole day. This means that you've greatly underestimated how much time that task would take. But one of the things that time remaining column can be useful for is taking a look and saying, hey, how much work do we have left? How much work is there left to be done until we are done with this particular story, task, or sprint log? Okay, so there you have it. You really want ID, you really want priority, you really want task, and you really want estimate. The rest you can figure out later. Okay. Call it 40 minutes? 40 minutes.
I have a quick question. So, like,
yes.
Because the project is to create a digital prototype,
yeah.
And because we know we have exactly 1 week for it, like, yep. The sprint time is kind of like the same as the whole project time.
Yes.
So I guess our like product backlog and our sprint task lists look a lot more similar than they usually would.
This is very much Scrum on training wheels this week in this project, and I admit that it's a little artificial the way we're working it out,
but. This way we can talk about it on this project, and next project you will have 2 weeks, you'll have about 2 sprints, and you'll be able to do it. Hopefully you'll have all the tools, and you can do it from the beginning, rather than kind of inserting it in along the way.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we weren't expecting to get a product backlog for a complete...
No, I mean, you're at where you're at, and there's not... I don't want to make you go back and do make work. It's kind of like, okay, so this is where we're at. This is what would be useful at this point. Let's try and do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but for projects 3 and 4, you'll actually have the full project to use all of these tools on. So, and this is the, let's do a training wheel version and a practice version and see how it works before we set you out in the wild to do it all on your own. All right, are there any other questions? Okay, so team meetings, somewhere along there. So we've got all the tools. And how they all sort of go together is where the team meetings come in, because those are the main communication linch points. Here we have these sort of the whole overflow. And we've talked about everything here in detail, possibly too much detail, except for the meetings. And the meetings, the key meetings are the sprint planning meeting, which starts everything. Your daily Scrum meeting, which you have every time you get together to do work, hopefully. In a sort of everyday meeting kind of place, you'd have one of those every day. That's why it's called the daily Scrum. A sprint review meeting at the tail end of the release, and then a sprint retrospective right after the sprint review meeting. So at the end of the sprint, there's actually 2 meetings stacked on top of each other. But they each have a different focus, which is why they are 2 separate meetings, not one meeting crammed together. So in the beginning, there's a sprint planning meeting. It sets the team's goals for the sprint. It defines, its goal is to come out with sort of what the deliverable is, a sprint backlog and estimated task list for the sprint. And it's supposed to be time-boxed to 1 to 2 hours. Yes, you guys just all had a small sprint planning meeting, is what you did. I time-boxed it to 30 minutes because I'm pretty sure you didn't need a lot more time than that, and some of you are probably done halfway through. Because we don't have a vast amount of work left to do. Do people know what I mean when I say time boxed? Yes? No? Okay, so time boxed is a term that says we're going to do this thing for this amount of time. We're going to predetermine how long it's going to take. At the end of the time, we'll be done doing it. So if you time box your sprint planning meeting, you are turning to your team and saying, we have an hour to do this in. At the end of an hour, we're done. This works better the more experienced you are, but it can also help even when you're inexperienced because you've got the certain incentive of, oh, we're going to be done soon. Wait, we haven't done this half. Let's actually buckle down and do it. It does help, and there are some tricks you can use to help make it work, and I'll get to that later. All of the meetings in Scrum are time-boxed. It's actually important because Scrum does not want you to spend a lot of time in meetings, despite the fact that it says here the meetings you shall have, including the meeting you have every day. Its goal is to keep those meetings as useful as possible, and one of the ways to do that is keep them as short as possible. The more time you give people, the more they will blather on. And you'd be guilty of that right now. The next big meeting is the daily Scrum. It is traditionally time boxed to 15 minutes, but for your four-person teams, I actually recommend you try a five-minute time box for it, because with four people, you really ought to be able to get through it in 5 minutes. Every time you get together to work on this project or to have another work session, you should do one of these. They're not really hard. The goal is just to make sure that everybody's on the same page. The deliverable of this particular meeting is having everyone know what people are doing. And it's very formulaic. You have three questions. Everybody on the team answers each of those questions, and you just go around in a circle until that's done. The questions are, what did you do on the project? What did you do on the project yesterday? Or since the last daily scrum, if it's, you know, there's 2 days between we meet. What are you going to do today? Or in between now and the next time we have a scrum? What are you promising to get done? What, if anything, is blocking you from getting your work done? Give those three answers, you move on. What you do not do at this meeting is say, hey, wait, you didn't get anything done over the last week. What the heck is going on? You also do not say, wait, you're going to do that today? I thought you were going to do that yesterday. You also don't say, oh, you can't get the load to build? Give me your computer, I can get it working. None of those things happen at this meeting. They're great things to happen right after the meeting. But the meeting takes the time of everyone on the project. Everyone on the project should be sitting there, listening, and paying attention. Often a lot of those problems that need to be solved or discussed, or, wait, I can't do my tasks today because you didn't do the tasks you said you were going to do, that can often be resolved between just one or two members of the team. After the daily scrum is the right time to go ahead and go into that problem-solving mode and figure out what's going on. Don't do it during the scrum. Let everybody have their say. Close the meeting, and then move on to getting stuff done. That is where daily scrums usually go awry, and I've been guilty of it myself in groups where I was the scrum master, and I let people get away with trying to solve problems at the daily scrum. It's really easy to have happen. The smaller the group, often the easier it is just to not do it, but it will still happen. So if you are serving as the scrum master producer for your team, keep your team on track, keep the meeting short. The problems will wait. It's only 5 minutes. The problems will still be there 5 minutes later. So, given that, you've got 5 minutes. Yes, this is another practice exercise, and I admit it. So stand up, take 5 minutes, face your team members, say what you did over the last weekend, what you're going to do today, and if anything is blocking you. All right, anyway, so that is a daily scrum. They're more useful when you haven't just had a planning meeting. You're actually meeting again for the first time over a group of time. But now at least you have the model and you've done it once. All right, so at the end, and in our work cycle, this is probably something that ought to happen as you are beginning, before you begin to plan your presentation for Monday, because you are expected to give a presentation on Monday. And one of the things we're going to want to hear about is what went right in your project. Did you hit all the goals you wanted to? What compromises did you have to make? Did you have to cut down scope? Things like that. And so a sprint review is all about the product. Its deliverable, its goal, is to create a better, updated, revised, prioritized product backlog for the planning meeting, and also to confirm whether or not you hit all of your goals for the sprint in a good way. The actual deliverable is the updated product backlog, but you also have the goal of taking a look at what you've built and confirming that this was, in fact, your goal, and it is a stepping stone to whatever your final project is, or if it's the end, if it's the project you wanted. So it is oriented on the product and the thing you've created. Where is it currently at? What was your goal? Do you need to modify your plans or change your plans based on what you've learned on this sprint, which is where changing the product backlog comes into. This is also a time-boxed meeting. About an hour is usually right. You may also find that the times I'm giving you, you need less time. I would think that if you're doing it in less than half an hour, you're probably not talking about enough, unless you had the most perfect project I cannot imagine. So between a half an hour to an hour is probably about the right amount of time. Larger teams might go up to as much as 2 hours, but even for a big team, this meeting is usually time-boxed to not more than 2 hours. That's usually about what it takes to take a look at a piece of working software and figure out if it's doing whether you want what you want it to or not, and then think about what changes that means. So that is the sprint review, and I'm not going to ask you to do one right now. After the sprint review, and do get up and walk around, do not try to cram these into two meetings into one. There's a reason why they are two meetings. You need some time between them. If only to get up, walk around, go get a piece of pizza and a drink, and come back. Give yourself 10 or 15 minutes between these two meetings. Because this is another meeting that should happen before you sit down and create your presentation. This is the sprint retrospective. And where the sprint review focused on the product, the sprint retrospective focuses on the team, the way you work together, the processes you used, and how your overall process went. So you're going to ask yourself, what worked well? What didn't work well? What could you have done better? Your deliverable is one or two, but not more than that, process changes for the whole team to try out. And if everything you did worked really well, then you should try blue skying. Okay, everything worked well. Is there something else we could add in or try differently to improve things? The idea here is that the process, not only can you improve the project every sprint, you should also be improving the team that's working on it and the people that are working on it. And that's what the sprint retrospective is really about. If you had a lousy sprint, if everything went wrong and you overestimated and you underestimated, or someone didn't show up to work and so half of your project didn't get done, this is the place to talk about and say, okay, what can we do to safeguard ourselves against this? How can we fix it again? Try to make realistic goals. You can't fix everything at once. If everything went wrong in this sprint, find the one or two things that were the biggest ones and say, okay, we're actively going to work on this, because if you try to tackle everything, that's often too much. This is also time box to 1 hour. Another thing to remember that's really important in this is try to keep the focus off the individual people in your group. Now, if one of your people decided to go AWOL, walked off on you, and never came back, that's one thing. But if name here checked in a broken build, and the build was broken for 2 days, and no one could get any work done, it's not, oh my gosh, X broke the build. It's, hey, the build got checked in broken, and it stayed that way for 2 days. What can we do to either make sure the build isn't broken when it's checked in? Is there an extra check we can do? Can we require people to run the game after they've done their final check-in? Out of, you know, check-in, check-out, run it, prove that you haven't broken it. Do we want to have someone be in charge of checking the game every day or every evening after people have done check-ins to confirm that it's working? And if it isn't working, contact the person who did the last check-in and get them to fix it, et cetera, and so forth. You want to pull it out. Small things that go horribly awry can usually have happened to any one person. It's not usually that one person's fault. And if it is, you can usually figure that out. Usually, it's that there was a problem where there was a process that the team had not set up a way to check on that, a way to fix that, or you're using something is inefficient in the way you are working. And rather than focusing on someone screwed up and made a big mistake, the question is, hey, what safeguards can we as the team do to make sure this doesn't happen again? And while this team, particular team, is not going to be working on this project again, you're going to be going to another team that is going to be doing a very similar project for two more projects. You can take the lessons you've learned from this project, I hope you take lessons you learned from this project, and take them on to your next project and share them with your new teams. Chances are good that they ran into different mistakes. There's an awful lot of mistakes get made out there. It's hard to make them all at once. But eventually, given enough time, you will make them all. So this is also a 1 hour time-boxed meeting, and a lot of what's coming out in the presentations, a lot of what we want to hear is what comes out of your sprint review and your sprint retrospectives, because we want to know what you learned on these projects. We want to know what mistakes you made. We want to know what worked very well. We want to know why you changed your mind halfway through. We're really interested in hearing about your learning process and the reflection of what you've done, more so than we are in your game. We want to know what your game is so that we can evaluate what you're saying, especially your design changes against what you say about your game. We want to be able to evaluate, pardon me, my tongue is tumbling. We want to be able to evaluate what you're saying against the backdrop of the game you made so we can understand the design choices you made better. But what we really want to know is what you learned from what you did. And that's what the sprint review and the sprint retrospective are really important for in the agile process. So time boxing. I keep telling you, just keep these meetings down to 1 hour. It'll be, and then it'll all be easier. You're thinking, wait, but I can spend 2 hours talking about everything that went wrong on this, and that's not even counting the other three people on my team. Time boxing is not easy, but it is really useful, and if you can use it well, you'll find it makes the meeting much more pleasant. There are a couple of good ways to make it work, a couple of simple pieces of advice. I'm sure there's more advice out there, but there's only so much I can give at once. Step one is have someone to facilitate the meeting. This is why there exists the Scrum Master role in Scrum, and this is probably going to be your Scrum Master, your producer. They're not running the meeting. They're facilitating the meeting. They're helping to make sure that everybody gets a voice and that no one topic gets rambled on for too long. They can also be the note taker and make the promise to go ahead. Any documents that need to be updated, any changes that need to be made, I'll record them and send them out so that the team knows about them and everybody doesn't have to sit in there writing, scribbling down everything they say, because I know where the decision points were made. I'll write that down and I'll confirm it back to the group. Person can also notice when the conversation, when he hears the same thing being said for the third time by someone going around. Everyone here has been in a conversation like that where someone says A and then everybody else has to also say A to make sure that everybody knows that the opinion's been heard. A facilitator can notice that and say, okay, we've really covered this. It sounds like we've decided X. Let's move on. Our next topic should be. And then they can also go ahead and say, okay, we've made this decision. And everyone can say, yeah, we really have. We can move on. Or someone else can say, no, I don't agree with that. And then you need some more discussion. But it's nice to have someone sort of listening to the conversation and being the person to keep it moving along. The second thing that everyone in the group can be is don't be that person. I suspect you've all been in a meeting with that person. And I suspect you've all been that person in some meeting, because I know that I have been occasionally. It's very embarrassing. If the group agrees that something is a good idea or a bad idea, you don't have to add the third. You don't have to be the third person agreeing that it's a good idea or a bad idea and giving three extra supporting reasons. Everyone is convinced. Go ahead and listen to your teammates. Give them the benefit of the doubt. If you've got one holdout and they're the person responsible for the set of tasks that they're kind of holding out on consensus on, listen to them and trust them. They may have a good point. They certainly think they do, or they wouldn't be holding out. It's hard to hold out against a group of people. Go ahead and earn that trust. Don't argue for the sake of arguing. Unless there's a real devil in those details, don't play devil's advocate. And pay attention. It goes a lot faster when people don't have to repeat themselves to make sure everyone's understood. Any other tips you guys can think of to help make time boxing and meetings go smoother?
Schedule something pleasant to do at the end. So like we do have dinner reservations at 7, so after this we're going out to where we have food.
Are there any questions or thoughts? All right. That's actually most of what I had to say today. It's 2:30. I would love to give you guys the rest of the day to work on your projects. So I think that's everything we had to say.
Get ready for a test on Wednesday.
Get ready for a test on Wednesday. Yes, there will be a test on Wednesday. The test on Wednesday will be happening. I'm going to have a lecture on testing, and I'm going to be asking you guys to sort of run, to take the time to plan.
Folks, just listen to Sarah.
Yeah, so the test on Wednesday. There is going to be a lecture on testing before we run the play test, and I will be asking you guys to sort of run through the format of planning out a focus test and then using your fellow classmates and us as guinea pigs for your focus test and gathering data on it, because next time I ask you to do a focus test, I'm going to ask you guys to go out and do it in the wild. So this will be the in-house practice for it. Anyway, go work
last
on your projects.
For attendance.
do good things.